other by priority. Okay, and then it says here, keep an individual log updated. Now, I kind of struggled with that one. I was thinking, what log? And I think that in your handouts, you'll see that there is a form, if I can find it here. No, it's...
Message log?
It's called the message center log. Yes, it's that one, the individual logs. And you'll actually, in our Mission Viejo manual, you'll find it in section 5-19.
And this log, even though it's a personal log, this log would actually be assigned to that radio, wouldn't it?
Per radio, yes.
Right.
Okay, now, one of the things that we heard in a prior class, or maybe I'm pulling it from one of the courses that we took with FEMA, is that when you have shifts and you are transitioning from one shift to the next, you have to before you drop the mic and go running to your next assignment, you have to brief the oncoming operator of what transpired, what's important. What locations seem to have the priority traffic, and so forth. And it occurred to me, this is the vehicle for keeping track of that sort of thing. So we're going to try an exercise to fill this out per radio position as you, not for the field people, but for the people in the EOC, messages coming in, messages transmitted.
So on this log then, should we also be noting our call sign to show who's making the notation?
That would be helpful, yes.
And then as we transition to the next person filling that radio.
Yeah, maybe take one line and say, everything below this is mine.
Your call sign.
Yeah.
Right, so we continue on the same form, not fill out a separate form, maybe get separated and lost.
Yeah. I would suggest we just keep on going.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. This would be something new for us. Now, I debate the value add of doing this because we're trying so hard to receive accurately the messages and to transcribe them onto the 213 form properly. Or we're looking at the 213 and we're trying to transmit it quickly and accurately. But I still think there, we need to practice this transition. How important is it, Wayne?
Very.
Okay. Why do you say it's important?
All the logs that you keep basically will only become important if there's a problem that develops during the incident or if there's a problem that develops after the incident. For example, we did an exercise with Red Cross and we had two requests for blood come in under immediate. And both of those went through the entire exercise and never got responded to.
Okay.
So somebody needs to be keeping track of that. Mm-hmm. All right? So it gets logged initially. If you have somebody there who's a documentation specialist, they can log that stuff for you. You can bring in the messages, give them the documentation specialist, but in most cases, we're not going to have the room for that kind of stuff. It's going to be a radio operator next to a radio handling almost everything.
Yep.
So the logs become critical.
Now that raises an interesting point. Is we've had this per radio, we will have our normal documentation specialists logging all the traffic coming in and out.
That doesn't make sense.
So
how can that person keep track of everything that's happening on six radios?
No. The issue is I see it as there's two different objectives being met here. Number one, we've always had the documentation person.
Okay.
And they log all the traffic coming in, going out of the EOC.
Based on the message forms, right?
Based strictly on the 213 forms. So just logging them as fast as you can. Okay, and that's good for showing the traffic that we handled. But it doesn't help at all the shift transition per radio.
Of what
was important during my shift that you need to know about taking over my radio?
Well, letting a person know what's important to happen, I would think that's basically geared for things that are still open issues, which would include, here's a pile of immediate messages that have come in that I haven't gotten to yet, and here's a pile of routine that won't even get looked at until the immediates get done first.
Yeah, I think that's the point is, I had all these immediates come in. I was able to get 3 out of 10 done. Please, you need to process these first.
Yeah, I think, like you said earlier, a key for a radio operator is going to have two piles, the hot pile and the routine pile. And anything that comes in new gets slid in the bottom of the appropriate pile.
Yep.
Because first in, first out.
Okay, so I think, anyway, we're going to give a shot to this. There's always the threat or the issue of getting buried in paper.
I have a question for Wayne. What was the root cause of it not being tagged as immediate? Was it just was transcribed incorrectly? Or?
No, the problem was it got through and nobody was actually following up. There was nobody there. There was no documentation person there following up on messages. They were just processing paper, going from the radio room into the emergency operations center, and nobody was tracking whether those messages ever came back again or not.
Okay. So we track that.
Okay, so we are tracking it, but again, our experience has been when handling all the forms that we are handling, the poor person logging all that in barely gets it done in 2 hours, period of the drill. So maybe this will help. Charlie, do you think it's overkill?
Can I throw one more comment in? We're talking messages right here, and if we're only focused on messages, I can understand why a separate log would not be important. But you just mentioned a little bit ago, you may have SOAR members or Tri-City Racing members come in and be out doing your field operations. And more than likely, you'll have maybe 4 or 5 radio operators assigned to this guy in the EOC, 4 or 5 field radio operators assigned to this person in the EOC. And that log that you're going to be keeping would keep track of all those radio operators that you're responsible for. If you had to do a frequency change management, you'd need that listing and stuff like that. So that's completely separate from messages now.
Yeah.
But you'd still want to keep track of that. And if you're going to be replaced in the radio room by the next radio operator, they're going to need to know what radio operators you're responsible, what field units you have out in the field that you need to keep track of.
Okay, that's a different twist.
It's more of a task log than it is.
It's a task log, it's a resource tracking log, it's whatever happens to come up.
Okay.
But wouldn't you also, if you were in the EOC and you had a certain number of field operators from other organizations helping you out, you'd also have them listed on a restat report, right?
You may not. If they've got a unit leader out in the field, all those radio operators that are out there would be good, and he's just sending in bulk reports to you.
Okay.
So when it comes to change management, if you had 5 unit leaders out in the field, and they each have 5 or 6, 7 field radios on a tactical frequency, you can see where it would just become massive, just covering the city of Mission Viejo.
Yeah.
On how big and how bad.
Yeah. Okay. For now, with our limited resources, we won't be handling that many people, but we'll see how it works out. Let's now move on to slide number 29. Now, 29 talks about the support positions. And obviously coordinated with ICC supervision, got to maintain sit stat. And then it talks about keeping individual logs again. Well, now we've got people, now I'm thinking like the documentation specialist, basically the documentation specialist. The idea of this radio log is probably not relevant to them. And I would submit that for any of the people like that, we're going to use the 214. It just makes sense.
This second comment about keeping individual log updated. For, you know, the first one is for ICC radio position, and now the second one's for ICC support.
Yep.
Maybe that is referencing your own personal 214 saying, at 12 o'clock I was assigned to radio such and such, and at 2 o'clock I was reassigned to this position.
Yeah, but I can see where we're going to get wrapped around the axle, and I kind of felt that way when we did the Plaza de La Paz, is I was trying to jiggle all these forms. And I would submit to you that if we're doing the 214, and we're supposed to be doing the 214, that we say, okay, I was assigned to the UHF radio in inbound at such and such a time. And then I was assigned, next law entry, released from that, and I'm now a field operator. I keep it simple. For the 214, or you're going to get so wrapped around it was paper that we'll kill ourselves. And Sydney, you brought up some time ago a feeling that we were making what was ICS is supposed to simplify things, and we were making it more complicated.
Well, as I look at all the papers here, the question comes to my mind. Wayne being here might be able to answer this, but are all the papers and documents that I'm going to say you've created, or at least that are on your website, are they consistent with those that are used by the ICS or that whole system?
Depends on which ICS we're talking about. Hospital has a completely separate. Hospital has a completely separate set of forms.
Different
I
question.
Have a different set of forms.
I'll talk about just based on the two courses, the 100 and the 200.
Yes.
A and B.
Yes.
You know, just based on what I went through with that, you know, do all of these fit into that model, and are they consistent with, or are there additional papers that we're using or learning about here that are not used there?
There's absolutely forms that we're going to be using here that aren't used there. They will not have a message tracking form, for example. They won't have that.
Yeah.
They do have an ICS 213, but it doesn't have all the detailed information that we have on it.
Mm-hmm.
Fire and police both have vehicle inspection forms. It's not an ICS form, it's an operational form for, mm-hmm. for their each agency. So they absolutely have, in one form or another, all these different forms. Yeah. They don't have, the one form they don't have is an activation mobilization checklist.
Yep.
They don't have that. Because they don't have to keep track of that. They come on duty and everything's in the dispatch log and it's automatically kept in the computer-aided dispatch log.
Okay. I think generally the forms that we're dealing with, we see a reference to an ICS form number. So they're around, like the 213 or the 214 or the 205 or whatever. Okay, we've got to move on, or we'll never make it. Okay, let's now go to slide 30. Additional responsibilities: obviously, maintain a high level of preparedness, maintain a high level of situational awareness. Be aware of possible workaround strategies. And then it says, and maintain maximum level of proficiency. As an incident communication center specialist. Now, what I'd like you to do is take a look at one of the other attachments, and for the sake of the tape, we're now jumping to this is the reference for slide 30, and it's actually called the position checklist. The ZR ICS position checklist. It has the big word task on the front with some big check boxes and so forth. Now, as we looked in the prior class, we looked at the Wayne had created the position task book, which went down through in great detail what's expected of us for this position. We also looked at a position checklist, and that was good. But I personally think that the position that this position